You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project. And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments. From sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more, Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Here we are in our Exeter, Rhode Island studios once again with some of our favorite guests representing the Providence Singers. We have the artistic director, Andrew Clark, with us. Good evening, Andrew. Welcome back.
Great to be here. Thanks so much for having us back on this rainy but beautiful fall day.
It is. And we have Chris Houck, who is the marketing communications director, I think is your correct title, correct?
Well, I'm wearing many hats these days.
All right. So you're communicating mostly,
yeah,
though.
Well, right now I'm communicating, so.
All right. So we'll call you communications director. It wasn't that long ago we had the privilege of having you both on the show. But we wanted to bring you back because we have a pretty special event coming up for the Providence Singers. It's probably one of those events that everybody looks forward to each year, and that's the Messiah, right, Andy?
Sure is. We have, for the last several seasons, been a part of that long tradition and ritual of the holiday season, at least in this country, of just presenting this wonderful work with the Rhode Island Philharmonic and the beautiful VETS, VMA, Arts and Cultural Center in downtown Providence. And we're looking forward to this year's performance as well and what's become a new community tradition for us. Just as the ballet each year, we look forward to Nutcracker. We look forward to all of these events that really become part of our December ritual. And Messiah certainly falls under that category for singers like us.
Right, and I thought one of the things we might do this week's show is to talk about Andy's background a little bit in the fact that I guess this is probably our fourth or fifth show together, but just remind people that going to school for music, you might have a different appreciation and some of your personal experiences with the Messiah and with other pieces that you've been doing might be a little bit different than the average person who just looks forward to a night out on the town, so to speak,
sure.
And part of that tradition. Before that, Chris, why don't you just tell us when that's going to be?
We're going to be singing Messiah on December 19th, which is a Saturday. We'll do it at 8 p.m. at VETS Auditorium, also known as VMA Arts and Cultural Center.
All right, and if they want to get more information, they can go to your website, which is
providencesingers.org.
Let's get to our first piece of music, and then we can have some personal things from Andrew.
Sure. This is right from the beginning of the show, the very first sound of a voice performing after the orchestral introduction is the aria, Every Valley Shall Be Exalted. Of course, that follows Comfort Ye, a recitative also sung by the tenor soloist. And it's a really wonderful, optimistic prophecy of this Messiah figure. We hear different kinds of prophecies as that first, what we call the Christmas portion, the birth portion of Messiah. This is one of the more hopeful and comforting messages in the piece. Every Valley Shall Be Exalted, sung by the tenor soloist. This is a recording, actually, an older recording from the Chicago Symphony.
All right, we'll listen to that and be back with more.
Every valley, every valley shall be exalted. Be exalted. Be exalted. Be exalted. Be
Andrew, I think since we mentioned the fact that we're going to look for some personal experiences from you about the Messiah, tell us about your first recollections or some of the stories that you remember in the beginning.
Sure. One of the unique things about this piece, particularly with the singers who experience it every year, audience members who look forward to it, everybody seems to have a Messiah story. For me, it started probably as a 9-year-old, 9 or 10-year-old. And it started like it does for most people. It was, how should I say this nicely? It was force-fed to me by my my mother, who got my brother and I all dressed up against our most vehement protests and drove us from our tiny western Pennsylvania town of Latrobe, 40 miles west of Pittsburgh, to Heinz Hall, the home of the Pittsburgh Symphony, where for, I would say, a good 8-year run, 8 consecutive years, maybe even 10.
Now, that was, in Latrobe, you were just used to Rolling Rock beer, right?
Yeah, I mean, the holiday rituals in Latrobe are a little bit different, at least when the brewery was was open. But it was quite interesting because my recollections of, I have two very strong sort of remembrances from that experience, 2 or 3. One was that very peculiar tradition of standing when the opening introduction of the Hallelujah chorus begins in the orchestra and looking forward to that particular part of the concert where we could stretch a little bit. I also remember shortly after that my mother having to wake up my father, who had fallen asleep We had to wake him up in time for the Amen finale. And the other interesting thing, my younger brother would be tagging along as well. And in Heinz Hall, there's a beautiful, maybe 3 or 4 story lobby where they would bring in a Christmas tree that would take up the entire space. And we were so overwhelmed by the marble and the opulence of this tree that it, the only thing my brother could compare it to was Princess Leia's castle from Star Wars.
There you go.
And but that's how we got started. And we got started because when my mother was a toddler, her grandmother took her to performances of Messiah that my mother's parents, my grandparents, sang as members of a choir in a small Methodist church in the hills of Beckley, West Virginia. And it was her grandmother who taught her to stand before the Hallelujah Chorus. So it was this heirloom, this family tradition that she really wanted to pass on to her son. So that's how it all got started. It all got started for me.
Hmm. Well, that sounds like an interesting tradition that goes back quite a few years.
Mm-hmm. And generations.
And generations of time. Let's go to the second piece that you've selected for
us. Well, I mentioned how comforting and hopeful the prophecy of Messiah is projected through the aria, "Every Valley Shall Be Exalted." Later on, the chorus has an opportunity to actually summon a different sort of emotion or prophecy. Here, maybe a more vengeful or frightening portrayal of the Messiah. This is a electric chorus, "He Shall Purify," and one that we always really enjoy singing. This is a performance actually conducted by Philip McCreesh and an orchestra and chorus from England in a period performance early music instrument rendition of the work.
All right, we'll give that a listen and be back in a moment. While we were listening to that, you mentioned that the story does continue in your life saga of the Messiah. So let's go to chapter 2 here.
Well, I'm not sure how if it makes great radio for me to tell you my saga with Messiah, but it certainly is meaningful to me. Well, it turned out that all those performances at Heinz Hall when I was a young kid, even a teenager, were performed by the Pittsburgh Symphony and the Mendelssohn Choir of Pittsburgh. It was about 10 years later when I returned to the Pittsburgh area as a graduate student and conducting at Carnegie Mellon that I was actually part of the performance, part of the tradition. I was a singer in the Mendelssohn Choir on stage, and my family had the opportunity to attend the concert, and this time I was up there singing along all these great choruses. And the other really kind of interesting irony is that as a kid, all of these performances of the Pittsburgh Symphony's yearly annual Messiah were conducted by Robert Page, and Mr. Page would end up being my principal conducting teacher and mentor. So even though I didn't know it as an 8 or 9 year old, my conducting teacher was already having this impact on my life, and would be, you know, 12, 15 years later that I'd have the opportunity to perform with him on that stage. So that was certainly an exciting milestone for our family to actually have one of our own there up on stage, even though I was just another member of the ranks of the chorus, but having a great time nonetheless.
That's great. And I guess we should go to our next piece, and then we're going to take a short break after this one. Tell us about this piece.
Absolutely. Well, this is what I call the Julie Andrews on top of the mountain in the Sound of Music portion of Handel's Messiah.
With the wind blowing.
Exactly.
Her
dress. This All is right. the alto aria, which is then answered by the chorus, "O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion." And actually, we were speaking before the show, Mike. There actually is a version of this piece that was arranged and performed by the gospel group Take Six.
Okay.
So if I had really had my act together, I would have brought in the a cappella version of O Thou That Tellest Good Tidings to Zion, but you can check it out on iTunes.
We'll have to do that on my a cappella show.
On your a cappella show, yeah. But this is one of our favorite moments, a real sort of zenith, I think, in some ways. There are many great kind of emotional, dramatic climaxes to this first part of the piece. But I always think that... even though Julie Andrews wasn't necessarily a mezzo-soprano, it has that sort of character of singing from the mountaintops and evangelizing, proclaiming this exciting and wondrous birth to come.
All right, we're going to listen to that. We'll come into it in the middle and listen to the finish, and then we'll take a short break and come back with more of the Providence Singers.
Jerusalem, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God, behold your God. To the cities of Judah, behold your God, behold your God, behold your God. O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion, shine, for thy light is come. Arise, 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 shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, is risen upon thee, is risen upon thee. The glory, the glory of the Lord, is risen upon thee.
Arise! people at Roberts Musical Instruments know there are many folks out there who, like them, are passionate about music. They know because they are musicians. They teach, listen, repair instruments, and take the time to learn who their customers are. So when you step into Roberts Musical Instruments at Quaker Valley Plaza in West Warwick, you can expect to receive the very best in service and selection. Whether it be a piece of sheet music, a name brand instrument, a rental, a lesson, the right accessory, or an on-site repair, when it comes to all matters of music, you should tune into Roberts Musical Instruments.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations, and we are talking with the Providence Singers, and Chris Hulk is communications director is here. And Chris, wasn't too long ago, as I mentioned earlier in the show, that you were here doing a show about an event that is coming up next week, next Sunday night.
That's
just,
right.
Just remind everybody about that.
That's right, Mike. We have a concert coming up next Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. It's called New World Rhythm, and it's quite a bit different from Messiah, but fans of choral music and fans of percussion will enjoy it, I think.
All right, and they can get information about
visit,
that.
Visit the same providencesingers.org website for information about that. And you might also, if you're listening, want to visit WCRI's website and check out the podcast of that broadcast from the time we were here visiting.
Right, for any of the shows on Conducting Conversations, a lot of people might not realize, if you're listening via the web, the World Wide Web, all around the world, all of the shows are archived there, so you can just go and listen to a show. You can listen to the other Providence Singer shows we've done in the past, and specifically this one that was just a few weeks ago about the concert next Sunday. And now the exciting part for me is that we get back to Andrew and find out about his life story.
Yeah. Easily told in a 45-minute program. But
well, this next segment is definitely going to be a great segue. Wait till you hear this. We talked about this during the commercial break.
Yeah, you know, the thing about a great work of art that has withstood the test of time is our ability to come back to it year after year after year and not only learn more about the work of art, but about ourselves, how we have changed from the last time that we approached a particular piece. For example, when I go back home, I try to make it a point to always go tour the great Frank Lloyd Wright home, Falling Water, every year. And it's always interesting to discover new things and to also sort of see it through the lens of one's own life. And people do that with great films or Shakespeare play or to go see the Mona Lisa, or even maybe some of our audience members have favorite CDs that they get off the shelf. And you recognize how you have changed in the context of how you got to know that particular CD. There was a woman in a chorus I used to conduct in Worcester who can tell you about the time she sang Messiah the day after Pearl Harbor was bombed. Ooh. And relates it to different times throughout her life. Really pretty amazing. This is the 10th time that I'll have the privilege of conducting this piece, but the first time that I'll be able to conduct it as a father. And since we do spend the first hour of the program basically talking about the theme of birth, I'm going to be quite interested to see if anything has changed in my own approach to a chorus such as, "For unto us a child is born." And certainly I've learned through the early stages of raising my own beautiful daughter, Amelia, that although she is sweet and wonderful, she's certainly not the Messiah. If she was, she would let me sleep, my wife sleep a little bit more. But there is this sort of wonder and magic, and we change through life's events, and to come back to a great work of art as a performer and to sort of bring more of that life experience, I think, can be really enriching. So that leads us to our next piece in a roundabout way. "For unto us a child is born." This is that great celebration when finally all of that prophecy comes to fruition.
For unto us a child is born.
For unto us a child is born.
right now that we have the child is born, we are into the final segment. It doesn't. That sounds awful.
Yeah.
I was going to say the final segment of Andrew's life, but the final segment of this particular story, anyway.
Yeah. Well, I had mentioned my introduction to the piece through my mother's insistence, the year after year, going to the Pittsburgh Symphony, and of course her beaming pride, her maternal pride, when she finally saw her son all, you know, dressed up in a tuxedo on stage singing it. Well, probably the most significant memory I have of the piece was in the spring of 1999, about 3 or 4 days after my mother was sort of tragically given a terminal diagnosis for a cancer-related illness. Just a few days after that, we had an opportunity to actually perform Messiah together in the same choir. And I have to say, I spend my life with music, but to this day, it's not only one of the most meaningful musical memories, it's one of the great treasured experiences of my life, the opportunity to finally get to perform this with her. And it was a really powerful experience because the message of this piece of comfort, of peace, of joy, reconciliation and resurrection, really was a transcendent and sort of healing moment for her, for me, for our family. And even though just months later she would pass on. So every time I come back to Messiah, I also think about her. And I think about her as a kid in the hills of Beckley, West Virginia, and her as a mother, you know, forcing her two little boys to clean up and go hear the show. And then finally her as a singer. And being able to perform together is really very, very special to me. So that's sort of the end of my Messiah story. And I had mentioned before that one of the things I learned from my indoctrination was that tradition, that sort of story of, of course, the king standing. Who knows if he actually did? Who knows where all of this came from? But I want to tell our audience members that when we come to the Hallelujah Chorus, if you feel like standing, by all means stand. If you just want to remain seated in your seat, that's absolutely fine too. We're going to have a great time either way, performing what is no doubt the highlight piece of one of the greatest works of art written for our art form, for our genre. So it's one thing to hear Hallelujah Chorus on the radio, and I certainly hope you enjoy this particular track we'll play for you. It's another to feel it and to be there in person in a concert hall surrounded by the sounds of glorious voices and soaring trumpets. It's really quite an event, and I can promise you it never gets old, and it is certainly worth sharing with your children and your grandchildren and your friends and family. So this next track before our break is the Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah.
And Andrew, I'm going to tell you that if I'm there, I'm going to be standing, and I'm going to be thinking of your mother.
Oh,
The people at Roberts Musical Instruments know there are many folks out there who, like them, are passionate about music. They know because they are musicians. They teach, listen, repair instruments, and take the time to learn who their customers are. So when you step into Roberts Musical Instruments at Quaker Valley Plaza in West Warwick, you can expect to receive the very best in service and selection. Whether it be a piece of sheet music, a name brand instrument, a rental, a lesson, the right accessory, or an on-site repair, when it comes to all matters of music, you should tune into Roberts Musical Instruments.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. We're having a very pleasant evening as usual, speaking with the Providence Singers, Andrew Clark and Chris Hauk, Communications Director. And Chris, let's just remind everyone how to get tickets for Handel's Messiah, Saturday, December 19th at VMA Arts and Cultural Center, 8 o'clock. How do they get tickets?
The best way to get tickets is to contact the VMA box office, and you can do that either online through our website is probably easiest, or by calling 421-ARTS.
421-A-R-T-S or providencesingers.org. All right, that sounds easy enough. And ticket prices are very reasonable.
Yes, we have a range of prices for adults from 22 to 62, depending on your seating section. And if you've ever been inside VMA, formerly known as Vets Auditorium, you know that there really isn't a bad seat in the house.
Absolutely not. It's one of the best theaters to view this type of a performance. In my experience, and fortunately for me, I guess, I've been just about every major performance venue in the United States. And this is really, I don't have any problem saying, this is really one of the nicest places for this type of performance. It's a great venue for that. And there are no bad seats. It's
right.
Not you're not sitting on the side anywhere.
You're not stuck behind a pillar.
Right.
They're all good. And we're also offering very good deals for students and for groups.
All right. So for more information, just go to their website and check that out. Andrew, let's get back to the music and tell us about this next piece.
This next piece actually is one of the solo arias, one of the most famous solo arias from the work, The Trumpet Shall Sound. We are so excited about the solo artists, the singers that we've engaged for this performance, including two of the emerging young artist stars, both on the Metropolitan Opera roster, soprano Jennifer Aylmer and tenor Jeffrey Behrens. The mezzo-soprano soloist is Mary Nessinger. She is a prolific recording artist, a faculty member at Vassar College, and one of our own local heroes, a performer and singer I have longed hoped to engage and work with Providence Singers, the Russian baritone Anton Belov. And Anton will be singing The Trumpet Shall Sound, and it will be to be believed, I assure you. This a track that we're going to play for you is a historic recording from Leonard Bernstein in the New York Philharmonic with one of the greatest vocal soloists in the history of American concert music, the inestimable William Warfield singing The Trumpet Shall Sound, one of my favorite recordings of this aria. And we hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
As usual, another hour has flown by with the Providence Singers and their upcoming performance of The Messiah. Chris, we have other things that are happening with the group. Tell us about that.
Yeah, very quickly, as we've mentioned before, there's a concert coming up next weekend, Sunday, November 15th, and that's American Masterworks for Chorus and Percussion, a program called New World Rhythm. And then, as we've been discussing this hour, we have Messiah coming up on December 19th.
Just to go back to that, Sunday next week is at the Beneficent Church at 3 p.m., so
yes.
It's an afternoon.
Yeah, so double check before.
Yeah, okay.
And then March 6th, we have Mozart Requiem and a few other works that live well with it.
Excellent. All right, information is available on the website. Thank you, Chris, for being here once again. Always great to see you.
Thanks for having us.
And Andrew, thank you so much for being here and bringing your stories of The Messiah, which is great, and particularly the one about your mother. I will remember that one. And tell us about this last piece we're going to listen to before we close off.
Sure. Thanks so much for having us, indulging in our tales, and letting us be with your audience tonight. I guess there's not much else to say, and this final chorus basically says it all. This is the final Amen chorus that ends the great drama of George Frideric Handel's Messiah.
All right. We will listen to a portion of that and then hope to see you next week on Conducting Conversations.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.